The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray. Beloved and sovereign God, through the death and resurrection of your Son, you bring us into your kingdom of justice and mercy. By your Spirit, give us wisdom, that we may treasure the life that comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. A reading from 1 Kings. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." Word of God, word of life.
When your word is open, it gives light and understanding. When your word is open, it gives light and understanding.
Your decrees are wonderful, therefore I obey them with all my heart. When your word is opened, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as you always do to those who love your name.
When your word is opened, it gives light and understanding. When your word is opened, it gives light.
Order my footsteps in your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments. Let your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your teaching.
When your word is opened, it gives light and understanding. When your word is open, it gives light and understanding.
The second reading, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. A reading from Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. Yes, who has risen? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. A woman took and hid in with three measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowd all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? The disciples answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. When Jesus finished these parables, he left that place. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I want to invite the children forward this morning. It seems I have a bit of a mystery on my hands, so come on up. I need some help. I can't find my ferrule, and I just can't move forward without it. Can you guys help me find my ferrule? Come on up. Come on. I can't find my ferrule anywhere. Can you guys help me find it? Don't stop. Move around. Look for my ferrule, would you? Come on. What? You don't know? Oh, you don't know what it means? Oh. Can you guys help me find my ferrule? Come on, get up and help me find my ferrule. They don't know what it is either. It's the metal piece on the end of my pencil that holds the eraser. And I can't find it anywhere. Can you guys find it? Well, that was easy for you. There it is, my ferrule. Now I can move forward. Oh, thank you. Oh, spring. So, in chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel, the Gospel we're in these days, Jesus tells his disciples to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things, the things that we need for life, will be given to us as well. And in chapter 13, it seems like Jesus is telling his disciples through parables that when you see the kingdom, this is what it'll look like. Because I think it was like you guys, I was asking you to find something that you didn't know what it meant for sure. And so when Jesus says, seek the kingdom in chapter 6, now in chapter 13 in these parables, he's telling us so that when we see that kingdom of God, we'll know it. Okay? So I'm not going to tell you what all that means. That's what I'm going to do in the bigger sermon today. So I want you to listen to the sermon today. And I want you to listen to what that kingdom of God looks like so that when you see it, just like Silas saw the ferule, when you see it, you'll know what you're looking for. Because I could have left that lay there and not told you what a ferule was, and you would have looked right at it and not seen it, right? And that's the same with the kingdom. Sometimes if we don't know what we're looking for, we might see it but not understand. So Jesus wants us to know what we're looking for when we look for the kingdom. So let's pray. Jesus, give us eyes to see your kingdom. Give us hearts of faith to live your kingdom, to be people of your kingdom, to enact that kingdom. Strengthen us to follow you, not in this world, not in the ways of the world, but in the ways of your kingdom, the life-giving way that only you can give. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming up, and especially thanks for helping me find that ferule. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you want to, I'd encourage you to take out your Bible this morning, your pew Bible. We're going to kind of jump around a little bit. And of course, we've been in Matthew 13 for a while now. But again, I think for purposes of the sermon today, we need to really start in the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And in that sermon, Jesus encourages his listeners, saying, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But first, he says, therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. A deep and abiding promise. You guys don't have any reason to be anxious these days, do you? It seems like in Forest City there's always some reasons to be a bit anxious. Whether they're good reasons or not, I don't know. Simply being part of a family, there are reasons, often reasons, to be anxious. And so to hear that promise, therefore seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, is to receive that promise is a bit like Solomon. It's a piece of wisdom, isn't it? To know that there's someone else in charge of our tomorrow. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. This is again in chapter 6. He says, take care of today's trouble and let your heavenly Father take care of tomorrow. Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. No matter what the anxiety is, we can find peace in that promise. We can find a promise that's worth standing on, that's worth building our lives on. In chapter 6, again, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What's the next line? Your kingdom come. Jesus, it seems, is teaching his disciples, those who will follow him, to seek that kingdom. To seek first that kingdom of God and God's life-giving ways. But the problem is, will we recognize the kingdom when we see it? And so, as I told the children in chapter 13, it seems as though Jesus is teaching in parables what the kingdom of God will look like. In chapter 13, if you want to go there now, chapter 13, verse 10, the disciples of Jesus come to him, and they ask him, why are you teaching in parables? To me, that's a clue that they don't quite get these parables. They don't quite understand them, regardless of what they say in today's text from Matthew. Jesus says, do you understand these things? And they say, yes. And really, it's a deflection. They're overwhelmed. They don't want to show their foolishness. But earlier in verse 10 of 13, they say, why are you teaching in parables? And Jesus says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but not so for them. And then he quotes the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, again, bringing out of Jesus' own treasury that which is old, that from the prophets, and blending it with his new life-giving mission. Later in, earlier again in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus gives another promise. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Many of you know this. If you know it, repeat it with me. Seek and you will. Knock and the door will be. For everyone who asks will. And everyone who seeks will. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be. So we turn to the parables. So we turn to the parables. We seek, we ask, we knock. We ask Jesus to give us understanding. The parables aren't something that a preacher can preach on once and give you all the answers. Parables are meant to be told to listeners who will do their own work. And so I'm going to give you some of the results of the work that I've been doing, but encourage you to take these parables home and do your own work with them. The first parable that Jesus tells in today's text is the parable of the mustard seed. It's the smallest of the seeds. But when it grows, it becomes a large shrub, tree-like even. And the birds come and make their nest in it. The birds come. That's a key word. The birds come to the mustard plant. And there they find home. They find a place. They find a space in the midst of their vulnerable and anxious life. Jesus had talked about the birds earlier, again in that Sermon on the Mount, that key piece of Matthew's gospel that seems to affect everything else he says throughout the gospel. Consider the birds of the air, he says. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. The birds come. They come to be fed. They come to find life. They come to find a place of life and goodness. In Psalm 90, we hear this verse in the opening of that psalm, O Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. From generation, you are God. O Lord, you have been our dwelling place from all generations. What a testimony to the goodness of the Lord. What a testimony to the Lord who is with the Lord's people generation after generation to give a place, to give life, to give that abiding place and space and life-giving relationship to those who come. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and mixed or hid in 50 pounds of flour until it was all leavened. Unleavened bread was used for a quick exit from Egypt. Hebrews 8, unleavened bread, to remember a time of homelessness. Using leavening in bread is significant in this parable. It suggests that when leavening is used, that there is a rootedness about the kingdom of God, that there is something substantial and steadfast, that there's an anchor involved in the kingdom. Again, a place of abiding life that is open for those who come, a place of belonging for all a place that will not be uprooted. That comes from last week's parable as well. Shall we go out and pull the weeds? And Jesus says, no, let them abide until the end of time. For in uprooting those weeds, you may uproot the plants as well, the wheat as well. There is something steadfast about this kingdom that we can count on in times of anxiety, in times of fear, and in times of hopelessness. The kingdom is steadfast and it does not change. Its promises are solid and secure. Another piece of good news from this little one-verse parable is that a lot of people will be fed. 50 pounds of flour is a lot of flour. Last week, the men of council, last Wednesday, we fed those who come for Wednesday night meals. And we used 10 pounds of flour and made a whole lot of pancakes. But 50 pounds of flour would make a whole lot of bread. Jesus fed 5,000 and 4,000 with just a few loaves and a few fish. What could Jesus do with 50 pounds? One of my favorite yeast stories comes from when Renee and I were first married, and I hadn't warned her that I was going to tell this story, but maybe you had to be there. But again, we were so young when we were married. We were living on the farm, and you know, we didn't have anything, and so we didn't want to waste anything. I mean, I made her share tea bags with me, so we didn't use two tea bags at one meal. She was going to make bread one morning, and so she had it all mixed up, and for some reason it wasn't rising, and so she took it out and hid it under our bushes so I wouldn't see that she was wasting it. Our veterinarian happened to stop by that morning to take care of some of our animals, and for some reason we had to go to the house, and as we were standing by the front door, he noticed this mound of yellowish stuff rising up out of the earth, and he went over and kicked it. The warmth of the earth made that dough rise. It made that yeast kick into gear, into action, and the dough started to rise up out of the earth, and the secret was uncovered. And Renee had to confess her wastefulness. I didn't make her pull it out of the earth and bake it, thank goodness. But the warmth of the kingdom, like the warmth of the earth, makes things rise. It makes the dead to rise. It makes those who are hopeless to rise. It makes the light to rise. It makes a people arise. Because we have the promises and the surety of the foundation upon which we stand, the foundation of the kingdom of God. And a lot of people will be fed. The world will be a different place because of that warmth and that welcome and that goodness. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is talking about lighting a lamp, and he says, when you light a lamp, you don't hide it under a bushel. No, you put it on a stand to give light to all who see. That's what we are called to do. We are called to be people of hope and people of light. We are to be people of the one who makes things rise by being warm and welcoming and a place of goodness and life. Building community in the name and likeness of Jesus Christ. When we do that, things will rise and life will change. Again, there's an interlude that we skip for the most part. Most of it's an explanation of last week's parable, again, the wheat and the weeds. But Jesus, in the early verses of 34 and following, quotes Isaiah, I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. Jesus is here demonstrating what he talks about at the end of today's text. He takes out of his treasury that which is old, the word of the prophet, the promise of the prophet, the promise of God that comes to the people through the prophet. And he combines that, Jesus combines that with his new life-giving message and with the kingdom that he brings. And so he continues in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field that is found, and when found, hidden again, and that man goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The kingdom of God cannot be purchased. That treasure is so valuable, it cannot be bought. The Hebrew people, I believe, understood that you really can't even buy a field. You can invest in it, you can use it, you can care for it and steward it. You can bless it so that it blesses you for the span of your life. But you really can't possess the field, and no more can you possess the kingdom, and you cannot buy it. But when you find the kingdom of heaven, you will suddenly realize that your grip on other things is loosened. I came across this story called A Precious Gift. There's an ancient legend about a monk who found a precious stone, a precious jewel. A short time later, the monk met a traveler who said he was hungry and asked the monk if he would share some of his provisions. When the monk opened his bag, the traveler saw the precious stone and on the impulse asked the monk if he could have it. Amazingly, the monk gave the traveler the stone. The traveler departed quickly, overjoyed with his new possession. However, a few days later, he came back searching for the monk. He returned the stone to the monk and made a request. He said, "I don't want the stone." He said, "What I want from you is that which enabled you to give me the stone." He discovered something more precious than the stone itself, and that was the gift of generosity. His grip on things had been loosened, and he came to realize that there was something more to life. There was something more, and in that he glimpsed the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Upon finding one, he goes and sells all of his possessions to buy that one pearl. I want you to turn to your neighbor this morning, and I want you to say, "You are one precious pearl." Make sure everybody in the sanctuary hears it this morning. Radio listeners, you are one precious pearl. And you know what Jesus did when he found you? Do you know what he did when he found you? He gave up his life. He gave it all to have you, to be in relationship with you, to love you, to care for you, to create a place for you. You are that pearl of great worth. You are that pearl of great worth who Jesus gave his life for, who he gave it all for. And now he has become that net that gathers you, that net that holds you, that net in which you are cared for, in which you are empowered and taught to see the kingdom, to live out the kingdom, to enact the kingdom, to be part of that kingdom called his church, where all are welcome, where the doors are flung open wide, where people come to find their net, to make their nest and find their rest, to be fed and nourished, to see light, to see hope, to be strengthened for life. For there are things in this world to be anxious about. Yet God is in control of tomorrow. And so as we seek the kingdom today, let us take care of the troubles of today. And let God take care of tomorrow.
Let us confess our faith. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Prayers today. Generous and compassionate God, we gather before you to pray for the church, the world, and all in need. I will end each petition with the words, "The Spirit intercedes for us." The congregation will sing the response, which is hymn number 180. Father, we come to you seeking your grace, your peace, your love, your forgiveness. Our world is broken, and at times we feel despair. We must trust in you. We must put our faith in you. Hold us in your hands. Show us your way and your desire for us. Pick us up when we fall. We need your love and your forgiveness. Bind our hearts to you. The Spirit intercedes for us.
The Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words to express. The Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words to express.
Be with and bless those that are actively serving their country. Give them strength and courage. Give them safety and comfort. Provide for them and embrace them. Bless the families left behind, often waiting in fear. Heal broken alliances between nations. And Lord, thank you for the blessing of this congregation. You have many faithful servants in this your house. Bless those that volunteer willingly, those that give cheerfully, and those that seek your word here. We are grateful for the many blessings of Emmanuel. The Spirit intercedes for us.
The Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words to express. Oh, the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words to express. Oh.
Father, remind us that you are in charge of our tomorrow. In our anxiety, give us peace in your promises. We seek, we ask, and we knock in search for your kingdom, in search of refuge, in search of being fed, in search of light and everlasting life. The Spirit intercedes for us.
The Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words to express. Oh, the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words to express. Oh.
Jesus, you gave your life for us. We are saved by your grace. We pray for peace in this broken world. We pray for wisdom for those making decisions around the globe. We pray for all people. You know everyone's needs. Let us lift up those that have asked for our prayers at this time, and also those that for reasons of their own choose not to be listed. Please read with me the first names of those in our bulletin. Lord, we bring to you today Michaela, Judy, Mavis, Ione, Dave, Marge, Luann, our missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josephine, and Amos, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magallanes. Offer them peace, comfort, and relief from pain and sorrow. The Spirit intercedes for us.
The Spirit intercedes. intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words to express. Oh, the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words to express. Oh.
Into your hands we place all of our prayers, spoken and unspoken, trusting in the mercy of Christ
Lord,
Jesus.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. God, whose power working in us can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, God grant you the gifts and hope to do his work and his will. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace. Seek the kingdom.
Thanks be to God.